Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention. With your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper. Tonight, we're talking about making school classrooms that will ADHD friendly. And with us in our virtual studio is Caroline McGuire. We'll be talking about this. This show is actually her brainchild. She came up with the idea. We wrote out to a whole bunch of experts, got a bunch of responses. We really like to have all of them on the show, but it's a little chaotic to do that. We're going to be sharing a lot of insights on that. So we'll get into the show meet in a second real quickly. Tonight is Tuesday, September the 20th in the year 2016 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you have not already done it, you should be booking your flights or booking your hotel reservations for the next CHAD conference, which is at Costa Mesa, California, or in Costa Mesa, California, on November the 10th through the 12th. Caroline,
yeah,
settle down over there. You're getting kind of crazy.
Sorry.
You're moving all kinds of stuff around. I'm like, you're kind of excited here. Bear with me. Anyway, so real quickly, everybody, the CHAD conference is kind of coming up. Tonight is September the 20th. In 2 weeks, we are going to have a promotional show for the conference. I've interviewed several of the keynote speakers that will be presenting, one of which is Lee Steinberg. It's a very well-known name, or actually not a well-known name, but you're going to know it in a second because he was the inspiration behind the movie Jerry Maguire. He's a spectacular guy, great interview, and we've got several others. So mark your calendars for that. That will begin our repertoire for ADHD Awareness Month, which we've got a great lineup for you on that. Dr. Barkley asked me to promote ADHD Fund. .com, which is a crowdsourcing website to raise money for small-scale research worldwide. And we are very, very, very proud to have a very long-standing relationship with children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, who's actually been a supporter of ours, and we've been supporting of theirs. And this show is actually being brought to you by CHAD. And so we have a little tip that we're going to roll. And after we do this, we'll get into the meat of the show. So here we go.
Why are older adults the fastest growing population to be diagnosed with ADHD? Is there such a thing as adult onset ADHD? Get answers to your questions at CHAD's annual conference. Are you one of the many women with ADHD who've spent years hiding symptoms? Step out of the shadows at CHAD's annual conference on ADHD in Costa Mesa, California, this November. Register at CHAD.org. That's CHAD.org.
All right. Again, thank you, CHAD, for bringing the show to our audience for everything that you do and actually the tips to learn more about them and to register for the conference, go to chad.org. And with that, let's get into the meat of the show. Again, tonight's brainchild of the show was Caroline McGuire. She came up with this notion of making ADHD classes friendly, and our audience tonight is really parents, because you're not the teachers in there. And she wrote off and got responses from a ton of experts in this area. To kind of get their insights. And real quickly, Caroline's a certified as a professional coach, or excuse me, a personal coach for children with ADHD and their families. She has a revolutionary coaching program that teaches executive functioning skills to children, teenagers, and young adults. She's a speaker worldwide venues. She's a former coach at the Hollowell Center in Sudbury, Massachusetts, where she was the main coach for children and teens, co-led social skills groups and consulted with local schools. Now, a couple months ago, she did an interview with Ned Hollowell talking about her experience there and kind of the formation of coaching and her work with him about kind of being the beginning of parent coaching, if you will, in that space. You can learn more about her at anycoaching.com. Caroline is a co-host, guest host, and sometimes guest, all of the above, because she's a really kind of a great interview. And with all that, Caroline, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. This is really flattering. I've been with my children all night, so it's nice to hear lovely things. Thank you.
No problem. I think we were in Reston, Virginia at the ADHD Coaches Organizational Conference at that at that time, you and I were kind of talking about the classroom. And as a parent, if you have an ADHD kids, we know that there are certain things that are conducive to help those certain kids, not all of them, with ADHD learn. And how do you get accommodations in the classroom? And I know it was fascinating conversation that we had, because there was kind of some really interesting things. And I know you, we talked about doing the show and you wrote off some experts. And what came back to me was fascinating. And the biggest thing that I saw in the responses was, if you're going to address this issue, the most important thing is the key to it all is the approach with the teachers as a partner. So talk to me about what you learned, like as a partner, as opposed to what, and let's talk about the key to those partnerships and how you develop that relationship with the teachers so that you can make things happen.
Yeah, absolutely, Jeff. So this show was born because we all know certain things that help ADHD kids, but, you know, there comes a degree where parents say, that's nice, you know, tell me about the putty, Caroline, but I can't get it to happen for my kid. Chewing gum is...
Real quick. The putty is like silly putty, where kids in the class, where they're kind of fidgeting and playing with some stuff, it helps them focus. Right.
Right. And so one of the putties is Crazy Aaron's Thinking Putty, and it comes in like a little tub, and it doesn't seem to ever go dry, which is a mystery to me. And for instance, I bought a bunch of these, and so parents can have a kid keep in their backpack, keep in their desk. It helps them focus. It creates something for them to fidget with. It helps them actually like calm their body down. And it really works to stimulate some kids' mind. I'm just giving some of these just so people have the background of what we're talking about. Velcro.
So if you have silly putty, right, and the kid takes it in and helps them focus, not a lot of teachers are really open to a kid playing with silly putty or something in the back of class.
Well, here's the thing. Some teachers are open, but part of what we're talking about here is you have to ask permission, right? So under normal circumstances, right, kids aren't allowed to chew gum in school. Kids aren't allowed to have putty in school. Kids aren't allowed to adhere Velcro under their desk. But it's an accommodation. So a lot of teachers, if you ask, will allow it. But what tends to happen, which is why I wanted to do this show, is that some teachers say no, or parents don't really know how to approach it. So to go back to your original question, the big response that I got from all these teachers, including people in my own community, was about this approach and
so,
about the fact that if you don't, you have to approach in a certain way. Go ahead.
So if you've got a child with ADHD that needs fidget toys, they need to be able to move in class,
mm-hmm.
and you're asking for accommodations, if you will, and some teachers, it's really all about the approach to do this, because in general, the answer is no to most of these things because they create distractions to some other people. And the question really is how do you work with the teacher and or the schools to implement these accommodations for your kids? And what I'm hearing you say, it's really all about the approach to the teacher.
It is, actually. See, I have a great quote, Jeff. One of the teachers I approached who taught the second grade is a woman called Lynn Schumacher, and she's now an ADHD coach, and she's at ADHDgifts.com. And Lynn said something really great. I love this. This is a quote. She said, she writes a letter, first of all, to her clients, and she gives them information about how to approach the teacher. So I think this is brilliant. And she says, a partnership of curious advocates holds the most potential for success. And I love that line. If both sides are curious to discover information about learning styles, personalities, strengths, and basically what she goes on to say is how to address behavior. And if your approach is that of a curious advocate rather than a bulldozer, right? So it's the you get more with honey than vinegar. And it, a lot of the teacher themes, and I'm going to quote some more people, but when you talked about this idea of approach, many of them came back to this idea that the more you make it about helping the teacher and the more you acknowledge that these are not easy kids, and my personal advice that I'm gleaning from this and from years of experience is, you know, our kids are great kids, but they're not the easiest kids to manage in a class, right? And the more you come at this from the approach of, here's what I as a parent am doing, what is it that we could do to make your life, teacher, easier, the more receptive the teacher is.
So in a sense, the approach of the teacher is not they work for you or that they should be doing this, but more you walk in and form a partnership, and your job is, I know my kid and I know what's easy for them, and I want to have a conversation with you to be curious and share knowledge to make your year in this class with my kid easier. Okay.
Yes. So one thing that Michael Fetter of who taught grades 9 through 12, and he's a ADHD coach now, and he's at positivelyadhd.com. Michael said something really smart. He said, partnership is a key concept. Teachers really bristle at parents who try to delegate full responsibility to the teacher for teaching their child how to manage ADHD. And I think that's a really key point. You know, over the years, I've seen parents, you know, with the approach do really well and parents who don't do as well. And the respectful partnership is absolutely key. And I think the other thing is really this idea of saying, we acknowledge that, you know, my kid is struggling with emotional control. We're really working on it. And another thing all these teachers said was to really go in from the approach of, you know, I've noticed that this fidget or this strategy helps him manage better. And not to criticize what the teacher's currently doing.
So what's really resonating with me is you're sharing the thoughts of teachers on how to approach teachers. And the focus and the success is making their job easier and walking in and saying, little Johnny does well with fidgets. I've noticed little Johnny does well with fidgets when he's playing with silly putty, and he's better able to focus and less of a problem. And I think I saw this note somewhere. What would it be like if we tried that as an experiment in your class, which is it's different from telling them what they need to do, but sharing your experience that this helps and suggesting that maybe you try that as an experiment, which to me takes all the pressure off the teacher, downregulates their emotion. And after all, we're getting this feedback from teachers. I mean, they're telling us this is how parents should approach you. And in doing that stuff, they're much more open to a partnership as opposed to when you start coming in and lecturing them and telling them what to do, there's an emotional regulation issue that starts on both sides. Is that summary accurate?
I think it's absolutely accurate. And I think there's also a degree to which, you know, you have to remember, teachers are managing larger groups than ever before, and they're managing a lot. And so I think that there's a degree to which the more you approach them as a collaborator, the better. And something else really important I want to mention here that I actually have to admit to you, I think I've done over the years, but I really did not understand how important it was until like 10 teachers wrote me emails about it. So I'll quote Christine Shiverick, who taught third grade, and she's at ableadhdcoaching.com, and she's a great third grade teacher. And she said, it's important to teach kids how to use fidgets respectfully. This is something parents can reinforce at home. Many teachers think fidgets will be distracting. So talking about the importance of teaching our kids to use fidgets respectfully is important. And, you know, I think that's the kind of thing where Christine and some other of the teachers wrote me a list, a really great list of possible fidgets, but the cautionary tale that they put next to each one was like, you know, this bracelet works great for some kids. And it really wasn't something I had considered as deeply of, you need to try this at home first. And you need to talk to the kid about, you know, you need to see if it works, see if it's the best thing, and kind of look at what I call the backdraft, which is, you know, some kids, if they had, you know, certain fidgets, if they had chewing gum, if they had, you know, a spinning ring, might be so out of control with it and the whole thing could backfire. But if you try it out with them, then you can see which of the options works best.
Yep. So I want to summarize that and tighten that up just a little bit when we get back from break, and then kind of continue from there. But real quickly, everybody, you can learn more about Caroline McGuire at necoaching.com. We're going to go to a break real quick, and we're going to come back and kind of pick up where we left off. So with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Caroline McGuire, and we're having a spirited conversation about making school classrooms ADHD friendly. We're talking to parents out there whose kids are in a classroom, and you're trying to work with the teachers. And, you know, Caroline, on break, I was thinking about this, and you sent out this questionnaire to a whole bunch of teachers. And bottom line, what I'm hearing from our conversations and reading through this is don't bully the teacher.
Yeah, no, don't. Because, you know, think about it in their shoes, Jeff. If you got an email that told you all the things you do wrong, and I've seen these emails, right, and we've all sent emails we regret, but I would just suggest to parents that they pause before they send certain emails, because you're really, you know, the teacher's doing the best they can, and if you put yourselves in their shoes, you know, they have multiple things to manage, and, you know, there's just this idea of helping them and being a partner really is going to soften them more. And can I say one more thing, Jeff, that came up a lot as a theme? So years and years ago, when I first started coaching, I worked with a lot of special educators. And one of the things they all said to me that I've found to be very true and all these teachers said is, if you have a kid who needs accommodations, get involved with the school. become not just a person they see at meeting times or to request things. Become the mom or dad in the library or who helps out with stuff or who, you know, cleans the lost and found out. You know, these are sort of horrific jobs sometimes, but what happens is it gives you more face time. Don't besiege the teacher during that face time. Use the face time to build likability. And that really helps with that whole partnership thing. I'm giving to your school, and it also, by the way, gives you an inside track of what's going on with your kid.
Yep.
And I have a million stories about where parents have had realizations and really gained powerful insights there.
Yep, absolutely. So got a lot to unpack here real quick. The get involved with the school. My mother was a second grade teacher, and I live in Florida, and school systems are not that great down here. At one point in time, I used to kind of say we're zoned private. But my mother came to me and said that, you know, the best schools are the ones where the most parents are involved. And I actually live in South Tampa, and there's some schools down here. I won't go into a lot of details, but they're really good schools, and the parents really, really kind of are involved. So I echo that. Working backwards, though, one of the things that I talked to you about, Caroline, that I really wanted to highlight in this is that I've interviewed experts, for 6 years, every week, if you will, and I've gotten an education. And one of the things that has resonated with me and stuck with me was a couple of interviews I did with Dr. Russell Barkley, that ADHD is not a deficit attention, but regular an executive functioning thing, but most of executive functioning is a self-regulation issue. And if ADHD is a self-regulation issue, as emotions is as much a part of ADHD as attention, because you have to regulate both of them. And earlier you had talked about when I said, you know, don't bully the teachers, because when you do, everybody goes into fight or flight and they start to fight each other. And I think that the theme of this show to me, because we like to pay attention to attention, is you need to understand what the teachers are paying attention to, reveal the mystery, make it easy for them. I want to talk about that in a second. And the other side is don't go and bully them. You need to partnership with them, because if you ignite that fight, flight, or freeze, then you're going to be adversarial. And as a parent, I know that you get frustrated, and not to send that email means you got to pause and downregulate your emotion, which is exactly what you're trying to get your kid to do every day in class. So I want to come back to that. But the thing that I really want to highlight a lot here that we were talking about before is before we went to the break, is revealing the mystery to the teacher. And if your child does well with a fidget, explain to the teacher that you've experienced that. But one of the things that I read, Caroline, that was profound to me is say, hey, my child, I've found that they do well with a fidget, but I've trained them on the fidget. Like, they know what to do as a means not to distract people. And when I read that, and you were talking about this, alluding to this before we went to the break, that was profound to me. Like, not only do I have a thing that might make some sense, but my kid's been trained on it. That signals to me as a teacher that the parent has thought through this. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely true. That was absolutely one of the things that struck me when I was reading all these responses and everything. I'm telling you, I hadn't thought of this as much as I probably should have. And, you know, I think – so there's a couple things. I think that Patty Blinderman, who was a K-2 and special education teacher, who's at positivelycoachingadhd.com, said that really well. She said, choosing items that are minimally distracting to others will go a long way in terms of teacher support. And she cites a few things like, a small slinky can seem perfect, but it can become a nightmare, because they can stretch it and stretch it and stretch it, and every parent out there is nodding their head, right? We know what happens next.
Yep,
you know?
Yep.
And so I think there's that piece. And then the other piece you alluded to is this idea of parents, and all of us included, self-regulating our approach, not only to model that behavior to our kids, which really, you know, can be important, but also because, you don't want to become what I call a frequent flyer, which is somebody that the teacher hears from so much that they start to just shut down. And, you know, it's hard at times, but I always say, you know, pause, let that email sit in drafts for 24 hours. And, you know, one of the things that these teachers all said, Jeff, all of them, keep it short and to the point, and keep it to the point of what this fidget or what this situation is really about when you're writing these emails. Don't go into, you know, the history of the world.
Yeah, and which is, we have had countless shows with Robert Tedisco from the Edge Foundation, and he's off on his own now, Jody Sleeper Triplett, Jay Carter, Matt Cohen, oh my God, it's hard to remember, like, you know, four people from foreign shows. But one of the resounding themes is understand yourself and your disability, and or understand your kid and reveal the mystery. And what's speaking to me right now is if you understand it, you can get to the point, like my kid, my ADHD child can focus better. My experience is they focus better when they have a fidget. And what would it be like if you ran an experiment and my kid has been trained on how to deal with silly putty under their desk? You share that kind of information and you're signaling to the teacher, which is an economic principle, which I won't go into all that mess, is that you know what you're talking about. It works. You're making their life easier. You're getting straight to the point. And what I'm hearing is these teachers are saying, if you approach us in this way, then we're more apt to adopt it. So why not take the path of least resistance and kind of listen to kind of what we're saying and approach teachers that way? All that said, any other additional comments you want to make to that?
I mean, I think that's the resounding theme, right? If I had to pick a theme to some of these responses, one of the big themes is when they say when you're highlighting something in marketing, you want to talk about, the core essence of what it is and what it does for the person. And really, one of the resounding themes from these teachers is the approach and also what this does. So, rather than getting into a whole big, long thing, you know, my child has trouble focusing. If you let him have silly putty, he focuses better versus, you know, getting into a whole long thing. And then the training piece, to me, that was so brilliant because it's respectful and it also allays a big fear that these teachers have, which is this is going to distract everyone else. And all of this, you know, one of the teachers put it really well. Christine Shiverick said, it tells them I'm on your side. And I think that's really what we're trying to do here.
Yes, absolutely. Let's go to a break and come back. Let's do this. Let's go to break and come back because I think we can wrap this up with a nice, neat bow because from the feedback we've gotten, for the conversation that we've had, I think the outcome is really clear, or the approach is really clear, and we can talk about that process. Everybody, to learn more about Carolyn McGuire, go to necoaching.com. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Caroline McGuire, and this is one of those special shows that are in the epicenter of the wheelhouse of Attention Talk Radio. We like to pay attention to what's being paid attention to, and teachers have a gazillion things to juggle. They got 20, 30 kids in a class, and what they pay attention to is their life and what they've got to deal with. And if you can walk in and create a partnership with that teacher and reveal the mystery for your kid, there's a good chance that they might be open to changing some things in the classroom to kind of help your kid. And tonight's been fascinating because Caroline was a brainchild of the show, wrote out, and we're getting a resounding response to me. And what I'm hearing is it's really kind of all about the approach. So Caroline, we kind of teed this up a little bit. I want to talk about, I think there's some really, really good ideas, but I think it was Michael Fetter, in one of the responses, talked about that there are some teachers that are older that this is, I don't mean to kind of pigeonhole this, but some teachers, young and old, are open to these things and some of them aren't. And he alluded to maybe some of the older ones that have been doing it back since the 60s might not be. But can you share what you learned and your thoughts in talking to parents and teachers in the space where a teacher might be a little more rigid?
Well, I think there's a couple things. I think, you know, some teachers are besieged, and then there are teachers who, you know, let's face it, there are teachers who don't believe in ADHD. So there's a couple things. Christina Gordon is a second grade teacher and an ADHD coach, and she is someone who really had a lot of good things to say. And one of the things she said is the teacher's not open to new ideas. It's best to make sure the teacher knows that this situation is helping the teacher. So rather than putting it all about the kid, which, you know, obviously it ultimately is, to make it seem that, you know, you're helping the teacher. Along those lines, Lynn Schumacher brought up something else really brilliant. She said, focus increases test scores. And teachers are under tremendous pressure with the Common Core to increase test scores. Well, I can tell you from all the research, you know, obviously if you read the same paragraph 16 times and you never focus in on it, you don't have great test scores. So that's another angle in this. And Michael Fetter did talk about, you know, when certain teachers bristle, whether they be, you know, older and near retirement, or they just don't believe, or maybe they're just tired and they, you know, they get a little bit cranky. Really the biggest thing is to make sure that your approach is not, oh, hey, you work for me, you have to do this. Because remember, many of the kids that we see in the ADHD community, unfortunately, they don't actually qualify for an independent education plan, or even a 504 plan. So they don't actually have those protections. But if you have kids who are just, as Michael Fetter put it really well, he said, it's really tough to think about accommodations for one or more children when you're just staying above water in the classroom. A good strategy here is to encourage the teacher to try one minor accommodation, explaining that it could make it easier to manage the overall classroom. And so that's, I think, the thing. It's like, maybe you don't get everything, but when the putty works or the Velcro works or what have you, now you can say, wow, wasn't that great? could we think about another experiment? And you also train the kid at home, right? Because we don't want them sitting on a bounce ball, which has been shown to have tremendously positive effects, but they're like bouncing the ball all over the room.
So we came back from break, and I framed this out, and I've been listening to you, and I've been trying to pay attention to it a little bit differently. And the bottom line is, you said something profound, and I forget who you were quoting on it, is there's actually people out there who still don't believe ADHD does exist. And if you let that go and you focus on the outcome, listen, I'm your partner. I can make your life easier. I'm going to reveal the mystery. We found this to work. My kid's been trained in it. The teachers are saying this. You come to them this way, and we're going to listen to you. Why, Caroline, would we not do that?
I think we should do that, but I think that this goes back to self-regulation. I think that many times parents look, there's a primal instinct, and I've experienced this as a parent, where you want your kid to be at their best. You see them struggling. You don't have to have ADHD to feel this primal instinct to want to help them, to want to just, you know, really just, why won't you just help the kid write down their homework or give them a fidget? It would change his life. But the problem is, when we approach from that place of dysregulation, we alienate the teacher. And that's the worst thing we can do. So that's the issue. That's why we don't do it. And I do think this advice was like so amazing to me, and we haven't even gotten through all the questions and all the advice, is, you know, it was an aha, okay, I'll give you props. It was an aha because there were things I never thought of. You know, and even today, a friend of mine, and I'll just say Jen because she didn't give me permission, was here, and she's a former headmistress, which is like the head of a private school, and she said to me, tell them to make the email short. So I think, like, this is sort of a universal thing that teachers talk about, but we as parents don't have that insight.
So I love how these shows evolve. Because there's the hard part is to do the work to understand your kid and their disability and all that kind of stuff. And that's a conversation for another show, because that's really, really difficult. But the one thing that I'm taking from tonight is that if you're listening to this show, it really comes down to your ability to self-regulate your emotions. Because Caroline polled the teachers. We revealed the answers to the test tonight. The question is, can you override that emotional response and listen to the answers? Go in, partner. Reveal the mystery. Spend the time with your kid to train them on these types of things, and walk in and say, hey, listen, we can take the hard way, the soft way, but I've solved the problem for you. Why don't you try this as an experiment and see what works? When it comes down, everything we've talked about tonight, all that stuff, if we boil it down to 1 inch, Caroline, is that it?
That is it. I mean, what it is all about is this idea, and one of the coaches put it really well, Jane McMaster, a fifth grade teacher of janemcmastercoaching.com, said, I would recommend that the parent reassure the teacher that the child has been trained to use the accommodation. And she also said how, you know, you have to sell the benefits. The child will be calmer. And I honestly think it's pause and pay attention to yourself. Don't make the email that you're sending or the approach just really alienating. Be a partner and honestly train the child in that fidget, because it's true. I mean, I have one upstairs who I can think of some fidgets that would end in disaster. So I think, you know, that's a huge piece I never thought of.
So And everybody, this show was born tonight, and we have a lot of notes, and we actually have some great ideas on actually specific accommodations, and we are going to do a sequel to this. We're rearranging our schedule. Possibly it's going to be next week, but if you're listening to this on archives, it's really just Googling Caroline McGuire and ADHD-friendly classrooms, and these shows will kind of come up. You can do this because there's so much more to talk about. But to boil this kind of show down, because this is the epicenter of Attention Talk Radio, paying attention to attention is reveal the mystery to the teachers. Walk in, be a partner, say, I've tested it, tried and true. This is what works. Would you be able to experiment? Why? Because it's going to make your job easier. Even if they don't believe ADHD exists, and say, listen, I know my kid. I'm going to reveal the mystery. I'm going to make your job easier. Here's the blueprint. They've asked for that. They basically said, will you come to us as parents and tell us that? And we'll respond. So either you need to do the homework or you need to manage your emotions to kind of walk into that space to make that happen. And we don't guarantee this outcome, but the teachers are saying that this is the way to approach us. And I got to believe that makes the most sense. So we need to bring things to a close, but any final comments you want to make before we wrap it up?
I think the big takeaway for me from tonight is just try to be a partner and try not to impugn what they're doing or what people have done in the past, and make it short and sweet, you know, because even if you're meeting with them, this is their lunch hour. This is their break while the kids are at music. This is their one free period. And that was the other thing all the teachers said. But I do think, you know, if you reveal the mystery, a lot of teachers will be receptive, and I've seen it work.
And, hey, if you can reveal what works, why not do it?
Exactly.
All right. So, Caroline, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you birthing the idea here, soliciting the teachers that are out there and revealing the mystery. Everybody, learn more about Caroline by going to necoaching.com. With that, Caroline, thank you so much for coming on the show.
No problem. Thank you.
All right, everybody, catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. If we're lucky, we're going to have a sequel to this with more specifics, detailed on what you can do to suggest ideas to the teachers. Take care.